This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome to On the Clock. Today is Thursday, the 16th of March, 2023. I am not the usual voice that you would hear at 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning. My name is Gail Hanna, and I'm filling in for Erin Green. Not to say that she won't be in today, she will just be joining us via technology instead. With me in studio is the illustrious C.A. Nuri.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, and I'm just here sitting in watching you do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I see you have a big agenda, and I know Erin is via Zoom.
Yes.
And I think she may have some housekeeping stuff to do, as usual.
She does, yes. And is she able to? Yeah, she's here? Okay. Erin, your housekeeping matters. Take it away.
Good morning this morning, Gail Hanna. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, On the Clock audience. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
I just want you all to know that I'm stuck in this house, so anything that I do is housekeeping, apparently. I'm putting it on my resume. And I say to all of the people whose mobility has been challenged, for whatever reason, whatever skill you pick up in the time that you are unable to move the way you usually move, figure out how to put that on your resume, because I shall be putting it on my resume. I am certainly a task master and a delegator of tasks. Mm-hmm. I'm putting that on my resume.
Mm-hmm.
I have almost mastered that.
So, Erin, you do need to give an advisement regarding wild chick charnies.
Listen,
moving around New Providence.
I don't want anybody to accuse me of sending out fake news. So I'm waiting for the police to confirm my report. But essentially, these chick charnies are out of control. It's tamarind season, and they have not picked a tamarind yet. I'm about to ask them, why do we have them if they don't want to live in harmony with us?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am not an authority on the matter, and I will wait until the authorities speak.
Yes, that's best. That's best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I do have a notice. I do want to share with the Bahamian people. The Department of Gender and Family Affairs within the Ministry of Social Services and the University of the Bahamas are presenting the discussion on the proposed amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act 1991. And they're inviting the public to join them, stakeholders mainly, to join them Thursday, 16th of March at 6 p.m. That's this evening, today, Thursday, the 16th of March. It's 6 p.m. And the event will be at the Department of Gender and Family Affairs and Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development at the Aventura Plaza West on JFK Drive. And that's just west of the six-legged roundabout. That's the social service building just west of the six-legged roundabout. And you could call them at 397-8600 for further details. And the panelists will include Mrs. Carol Miswick, who's a retired judge, and she'll be discussing the importance of the amendment. Dr. Nicolette Bethel, associate professor at the School of Social Sciences, University of the Bahamas, will be discussing agency of women, women as property. Mr. Cedric Moss, senior pastor of Kingdom Life Church, will be discussing, his topic will be amending the amendment. Ms. Marissa Mason-Smith, Zonta Club of New Providence, and Mrs. Charlene Paul from Caribbean Women in Leadership will be discussing women's perspective on the amendment. And Dr. Anthony Hamilton, the president of civil society, will be discussing the attitude of NGOs towards the amendment. And the senator, the Honorable Maxine Seymour, will be discussing the perspective of the government opposition to the amendment and Mrs. Robin Lyons, attorney, attitudes towards the amendment. I think it's open to the public. It is a great opportunity to hear what policymakers are also hearing, right? To listen to the people and the stakeholders who policymakers are engaging, and it should be an opportunity to share your perspective on various topics and the amendment itself, to learn more about the amendment and to get a sense of the language, you know, what it means, how it's used. Absolutely. I think that's going to be a interesting event. Mm-hmm. And then in today's Guardian, on page, I think it is on page 8, if you were listening to Morning Blend this morning, actually it's on page 3, if you were listening to Morning Blend this morning, members of the Independent Secretariat were on discussing the launch of the calendar of events and the 50 events to mark the 50th independence. I thought I was fascinated by some of the events that they have popping up. So I'm hoping next week, Mr. Nuri and Gail, maybe we could collab again on a Thursday and have our own 50 events to mark the 50th independence show and continue the conversation. But I'm hoping that this conversation today will inspire members of the community we're speaking about to engage the independence celebrations and ensure that they have an event commemorating their contributions to development in the Bahamas over the last 50 years. So, Gail, yeah. I want you to introduce the topic. I can tell the people you chose it. I think it's an awesome topic. And take it away.
You know, I appreciate you saying that, right, Aaron? Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
On the clock this morning, it's a Culture Thursday, and this morning we are honoring nurses. We're honoring nurses, midwives, and the ancillary staff, and I'd like to specifically shout out the nurses and ancillary staff of the oncology department or the oncology area at the Princess Margaret Hospital. Oncology is an area of medicine, unless you are directly affected by it or have a family member who is experiencing a battle with cancer, it's not something that would be at the front of your mind. However, I would like to highlight both the oncology nurses and the nurses at the A&E, Accident and Emergency Section, of the Princess Margaret Hospital this morning to say thank you. Primarily, thank you for the work that you do every single day. Thank you for the comfort that you provide for people who find themselves having to come to visit you, and for your practical care for all of your patients. The ancillary nursing personnel are persons employed to assist registered nurses or licensed practical nurses in the care of patients, and it is included. It includes, but is not limited to, aides, assistants, attendants, and technicians. And so, just to lead off, we want to thank all nurses, of course. We're not singling anyone out. But I will say I would like to highlight the oncology nurses this morning. There are many occupations underneath the nursing umbrella. And so, it's not limited to any one type of nurse. You can be a clinical nurse supervisor, a labor and delivery nurse, emergency room registered nurse, critical care registered nurse, oncology registered nurse, as mentioned, health informatics nurse, clinical nurse specialist, nurse practitioner, nurse educator, and the list goes on and on. The International Nurses Day is celebrated around the world every May 12th, which is considered to be the anniversary of Florence Nightingale's birth. And we celebrate nurses who have guided us and protected us, the unsung heroes of our society and the unsung heroes of many lives, in fact. I believe that, I also want to shout out Nurse Dawkins. Many lives around the Bahamas and in New Providence who have benefited from There are wonderful nurses out there, CA Nuri. There are nurses who care, there can rely on, and they do the work every single day.
Yeah.
Can I jump in for a moment?
Yes.
I have a nurse. I want you all to know I got a nurse.
Mm-hmm. Who specializes in Chickchawney care?
I mean, I'm not quite sure. I just got her.
Okay.
I just got her. But okay. I want to bring her in the conversation this morning. She's joining us. But before we get there, when you say, you want to shout out nurses,
mm-hmm.
I got a couple of nurses I need to shout out.
Okay.
First of all, Senator, a moment of commemoration for my aunt, Nurse Juanita Green, who, she's known throughout the country. Her last post was as the chief of health and safety at Atlantis. And she was really well known, and a lot of people know her, Nurse Green. But I also have to shout out two nurses who sort of helped me with my foot when I broke it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say good morning and thank you to Nurse Ingram at the Medi Center and all of the other nurses whose names I didn't get, just excellent service. Just excellent service.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to send a shout out to the unnamed nurse, Gail Cecil. When I wasn't sure if I'd broken my foot yet, I was making calls and I got word that there was a podiatrist clinic at South Beach Clinic. And so I said, let's rush down there. And I got down there and they have a drive-through triage. And this very, very young lady in scrubs was taking information from the drive-ups. And she told me that unfortunately the x-ray machine is down at the clinic. I'd have to go to PMH because it's the only public space with a working x-ray machine at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at her and say, well, what about the clinic? And she said, well, there are 70 people in front of you.
Wow.
I don't know if you want to wait.
Yeah.
So I tell her, miss, I might as well cut off my foot and go to the Super Value and Tifa Trolley and do the surgery myself.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I want to thank her for not cussing me when I tell her that.
Yes, of course.
I want to thank her for smiling oh so gently so as to ensure that I realized she was maintaining her professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this young lady, she'd been through the best training. She trained for miserable old people like me who was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get her name, but I want to say, dear young person, you shining for all the young people, and you're going to be a great nurse. You're going to be a great healthcare provider because you already got the best part, the most important part down, which is dealing with us humans. I want to say thank you. And then if you don't mind, let me bring into the conversation another nurse. My nurse. She don't know she's my nurse until just now.
Okay.
But good morning, Miss Rhea. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. I wanted to bring you in on the conversation at this point. I'm going to let Gail take it over. But since we have a nurse in the house, you got to be a part of the conversation.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Good morning. Yes, good morning, Ms. Thompson. Welcome, and thank you for joining us this morning. Can you give us some information on your primary area of care or expertise?
Yes, I am a PCN. That would be the U.S. equivalent to what they call a licensed practical nurse or a licensed vocational nurse. And I am currently employed at PMH Hospital, and I work in the medical area.
Okay. Thank you very much. We had a few questions. If you're able to assist us with them, that would be wonderful. Our first question would be, how comparable would you say are the sector salaries, private or public, in nursing, in the Bahamas versus, let's say, the United States or one of our neighbors to the north?
To be honest with you, I don't find them to be comparable. For instance, someone like me with the training that I have, usually our hourly rate would start somewhere between $19 an hour, straight on up to $66 an hour in the U.S. That's just an average. That would change based on what state you're in and obviously who you're functioning in. Mm-hmm. However, here, we would usually start off somewhere around $10, $11 an hour.
Oh, that's a big difference.
A big difference in between the two.
We have seen evidence of what would be considered a brain drain in the nursing sector of the Bahamas, where younger people, or not necessarily younger people, but people in the nursing industry or under the care of nurses or provide care as nurses, would be leave to those other opportunities. You know, you mentioned $66 an hour. That sounds pretty good to me. Why would I not want to practice in another country, for example? What do we need to do to retain more of our nurses here, in your opinion?
That $66 is actually the lowest end of the scale. Like I said, that's for someone like me that is an LPN, a registered nurse that has a specialty, say, for example, a midwife, a dialysis nurse, or you brought up oncology, you know, an oncology nurse. Nurses have their certification and experience in those backgrounds can demand much more than that. Some of them up to 100 and some odd dollars an hour. And we saw during COVID that nurses were making even double that. So I think it's a two-pronged approach in terms of, is the compensation enough? And to be honest, I don't think anywhere in the world the compensation is enough because nurses do a lot. They carry a serious burden because they manage the patients 24 hours. You know, you may see the doctor for a few minutes, but the nurse is usually there for a full shift. So I think we also have to look at the environment, the lack of resources. A lot of nurses are beginning to feel burned out, beginning to feel stressed. They have issues with feeling like we're just a body, you know, that we're not cared for. Everybody just wants us to show up and show out. We're supposed to do and take care of everybody at the expense of selves. And so a lot of the younger nurses don't have that ideal. They want the balance. They want to be able to have this career where they can be passionate and they can be dedicated and they can show that. But they want to be able to self-care too. They want to be able to have time to themselves, a personal life, a social life, time for their family. They want balance. And I think that that is one of the major issues facing nursing around. If we just look at here, those are the two issues I think you'd find that most nurses will say that stands out for them. The financial compensation, the resources, and the environment that we work in.
You mentioned... Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. Go ahead, Aaron. Sorry.
You go on.
You mentioned the stress levels as well as perhaps the support needed for the mental, let's say the mental health or the social health of nurse practitioners. Are there any resources available to your knowledge that would provide psychosocial support, be it you're able to speak with a counselor or you're able to speak with a mental health professional? Social groups, anything to your knowledge that would help support the more mental or emotional aspect of the job?
Yeah, well, through Sanderlands Rehabilitation Center, which is a division of the Public Hospitals Authority, which manages the Princess Margaret Hospital and Sanderlands Rehabilitation, there is a community counseling center where you would have access to speak with counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and the like. If you find that you need that kind of assistance, I think the issue there is it's kind of hard as a nurse to reach out to the same system that you work in. Because, you know, let's be honest, our culture is one that doesn't inspire great confidence in terms of confidentiality.
Yeah.
So you feel like you have people that you have to work with, and you may feel that you're being judged. Or you don't want your business out there. Because the minute you visit somebody to say, well, I saw Nurse Thompson in here, and she didn't look like she's doing too good up in the head, and that could spiral out of control. So I think that's another roadblock to it. Not that the resources aren't available. But how do you make nurses comfortable with availing themselves of those resources without feeling as if it's going to come back to bite them later on?
Mm-hmm. And I want to, just a moment, send a shout out to our team of psychiatric nurses mm-hmm. in country. You know, and I imagine that like the oncology nursing teams, that they're dealing with people that are constantly reconciling with their own mortality, right? And with death, that they hold a burden that they have to process, you know? It's some form of therapy, whether it's a formal practice with a practitioner or an informal personal cultural or, you know, or social practice that they have. And the same with psychiatric nurses that sort of bear the burden of work, of holding space for people that are going through psychological or mental issues or instability. You know, send a shout out to them, but ask in particular, how does the nursing community hold up the nurses who are working in these specialized spaces, mm-hmm. right, that are both sort of in and of themselves heavy, but also bear a sort of social burden or, you know, that culturally, culturally, us on the outside, we don't do a good job of creating a good environment for you and the work you do either.
Mm-hmm. Before you respond, Nurse Thompson, we have a call on the line, Erin, that I just want to get to quickly.
Yeah, ma'am.
And then we can come back and receive her response.
Absolutely.
Good morning, you're on the clock.
Good morning to you. Good morning to Erin. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
In reference to the nurses and their being overworked or they're feeling the burden of being overworked, how about having a system where you have nurses in the city of Nassau that they could be transitioned to an island if they choose to or would like to for 2 years, and that could have helped them to offload a lot of the burden, right? And you still check on them to see how they're functioning psychologically and mentally. But is there a system in place now to have some of these nurses work to an island for a few years, you know, so that could help them recover or redeem themselves and then bring them back to the city? Because I think all the counseling in the world here in Nassau wouldn't help them. It needs to be different for a short period of time. They just need a new environment and a new space to catch themselves. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, caller. Nurse Thompson, any comments on the caller's comment or query?
Well, the first thing I would like to address is a little bit more of an educational point for the public. The Department of Public Health, which manages the clinics on the family island, is a separate entity, the Public Hospitals Authority. Mm. For the nurses that work for the Public Hospitals Authority, again, those are the facilities of Princess Margaret Hospital, the Rand in Freeport, and Sandilands Rehabilitation Center, would not be under the purview of the Department of Public Health in that sense. So the ones that work to the local clinics, the nurses that you encounter at Flamingo Gardens, Lemon Street, those type of clinics, they're the ones that usually transition to work to the island. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily us who work within the hospital structure, because okay. they're two separate entities.
Okay.
Okay, well, this would shifting that, like at the policy level, at the infrastructure level, would that make working together, lobbying, decision-making, would that make it better for nurses?
It possibly would, because I don't see any difference between me and my community health counterparts. They happen to work at a community clinic, and I work in a hospital, but we did the same training. We have the same certification. Sometimes they do a little bit more in depth because they're in the community versus I work in what we call an acute setting. So we play off of each other's strengths. And again, we are all nurses. So I definitely don't see why we can't all work together. And it might actually do some good to have us moving from the hospital to do some community work and from community work to the hospital. I think maybe we would understand each other better.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I see there is an award that the Bahamas National Breastfeeding Association gives out for the Skin to Skin Challenge, right? Which is about neonatal care. Mm-hmm. And the award was designed to celebrate nurses who have, in a period of 100 days, delivered the most babies while using skin-to-skin interaction. Mm-hmm. Nurse Evelyn Cartwright was the winner, I think, for 2022, announced in November last year. And Wanda Kemp, who was a registered midwife lactation counselor, was the runner-up. She delivered 16 babies with skin-to-skin interaction, and Evelyn Cartwright, registered midwife, successfully delivered 19 babies. But here's what I want to ask. Is the Bahamas, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas Nursing Association and the Bahamas Nursing Union, along with the Nursing Council, are y'all ready to give out the MacGyver Family Island Resourceful Nurses Award? Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
So we could celebrate the resourcefulness of our nurses and what they have committed themselves to doing without regard for resources and tools. They committed to healthcare no matter what they have in their toolkit, and that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Erin, we have a text, and if anybody would like to text the show, the number here is 422-4796. That's our text line. If you'd like to call, 323-6232. The text reads, "Great show as usual. Tell Miss Green, back in the day, if someone fall down and break a leg, they would tell you either walk it off or they would tell you go drink a ginger ale. I think PMH plays a vital part in healthcare. But ask your guests how come the nurses of another nationality have a better attitude than our own." All right, Texter, thank you very much. I'm not sure if we are able to respond to that one, but I am sure that I can say for myself, the Bahamian nurses that I have come in contact with have been pleasant and enjoyable to work with and very helpful. Ms. Green just mm-hmm. mentioned the nurse that she came in contact with, who was also very professional, very well trained. And so we're sorry, or we apologize if you have had a less than desirable experience, but the ones that we know are the best in the game.
Listen, I used to feel the same way too, until I realized that nurses actually, I interact with a nurse because I have problems. Nurses fighting death every day.
Yes.
They literally fight death in a hot building, in a hot box with no AC.
And they're interacting with you at the most traumatic or point of the greatest crises in your life. And you're probably, like you say, your attitude may not be the best when they come in contact with you, and they have to maintain professionalism.
Yeah, and so we have to change our perspective on what we expect from nurses and at what stage in the interaction, in the overall process, and really think about it. At a time when you're in your direst medical state, do you want a nurse who is smiling, or you want a nurse who looks like she prepared to take on the whole Library of Congress to figure out what's going on with you? Mm-hmm.
We have another call, Erin, if that's okay.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Alrighty. Callie, you're on the clock.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm on the road. I just turned on the radio and heard you all talking about mental health. Really, a serious situation here in our country.
Yes, ma'am. Mental health for nursing
talking,
professionals.
I'm passing along Wolf Road, and here's a young man, just about half naked. All his clothes stripped right down to his knees, sitting up on a wall as we speak, as you all are speaking. I stopped by the station to report it so that they can do something and see that he gets the proper care. But I'm happy to hear that. I understand that that's Miss Green on radio, somebody who has been really, really exposed and involved with social services over the years and has made a remarkable contribution to that area.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. And so, Rhea, let me ask you a question. How does it feel to be a nurse? Like, so you like Superman, right? You're on duty, and when you're off duty, you're on duty. In your spirit, how does it feel to move through New Providence when you're off duty? How does it feel as a nurse? What are nurses going through, sort of trying to separate their professional life from their personal life? And like the lady said, she was moving through town. She saw something. She knew she needed to do something. It's not her job. She was in quote unquote on duty, but she had to do something. And I imagine a lot of nurses have to wear the weight of that as well in their, you know, in their private time. How do y'all do it?
Well, it is rough to do because it's hard to see and not do. I mean, I can't speak for every nurse. Some may have a better handle on it, but for me, it's like if automatically if I am out and I see someone just pass out, I can't just ignore that despite the fact that I may just be out on the town trying to, you know, relax myself. It, because for me, I'm still a nurse. How do I reconcile ignoring that this person's my health and I could possibly make a difference in favor of, oh, I relax and so I off. So are you really off? I mean, it's hard to say that you're ever really off because naturally, I would think for most of us, the desire to want to help automatically kicks in and overrides any sort of I off, I on vacation, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Now, the caller reference mental health issues, having encountered someone she presumed was having a bit of a rough time. What do your colleagues in psychiatric nursing need right now in New Providence and in the Bahamas? And what do you think nurses generally need right now?
Well, let me speak first to the psychiatric nurses. I have some wonderful friends who work up to Sandalin, so I'll just send a quick shout out to Nurse Reason, Nurse Roll, doing an excellent job of that. Nurse Thurston, male TCN Nurse Thurston, one of the best male nurses I've worked with in my set, in my generation. They need downtime. They need time to de-stress, to decompress, to just let go of all of the responsibilities that they have to hold on to, because mental health, I think very often we overlook them because we think about the emergency nurses. You know, to us, they're the ones who are doing all the work. The ones in the hospital are the ones who are doing all the work. But managing somebody's mental health while trying to stabilize their own, that's a task.
Yes.
And those nurses at Sandalin, that is what they're tasked with. And that is not easy to walk into every day because they don't know what they're walking into. They might have left that patient okay yesterday, and overnight they had a decline. You know, they now maybe having some auditory hallucinations or something, and they have to take that on. So I think they definitely need the space to be able to step completely away from that role and take some time to themselves, or they're going to burn out.
Well, absolutely. We are about to go to the break. Erin, you're on the clock with Erin Green, Gail Hanna, C.A. Nuri in studio, and joined by Nurse Rhea Thompson. We will be right back after these messages.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back on the clock with Erin Green, who's joining us via Zoom. My name is Gail Hanna. In studio with me is C.A. Nuri. And we're also speaking with Rhea Thompson, Nurse Rhea Thompson, on Zoom as well. Thank you very much for joining us. A quick text. Miss Green is a celebrity. They will automatically give her excellent treatment. Any comments, Miss Green? Your celebrity status has afforded you excellent treatment.
I can tell you, my years as the interpreter on the news at Justice Gardens has taken this face across the globe, you know.
International.
I never thought that being able to interpret pigeon, dolphin, Chicchani, and politician would have led to this type of success in my life.
That is excellent. Great. Another text. Great show as usual. We have a lot of mental sickness in the Bahamas. And a lot of people need mental help. Great comments. Texter, you're absolutely correct. We do have a call. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Mr. Neary, good morning. Miss Green, good morning.
I'm here.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to send a shout out to a nurse. She has been nursing for years, a family member of mine. She's a great nurse. She is Nurse Rebecca Johnson, actually Sister Rebecca Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
She is on children's ward. So I'd like to send a shout out to her.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nurse Rebecca Johnson, you said?
Pardon me?
Yes.
Nurse Rebecca Johnson, thank you very much for your service.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many nurses. I sit here thinking of this relationship that you have with those that give you care, thinking about Nurse Key from QC. And I remember being sick one day and wanting to stay home from school, and my mother say, "Oh no, there's a whole trained nurse at school."
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where I'm sending you. You know, and my nurse when I was still a minor, and I used to go to Dr. Crawford. I can't remember the nurse's name, but I remember the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the relationship that you develop with your caregivers, you know, is so it lasts. It makes an imprint.
Mm-hmm. Another text here, Erin. I would like to shout out my sisters, the best, most hardworking, caring, overachievers, and intelligent nurses in Nassau. Special shout out to Sophie Wilkinson, that works at Sandilands, and Nicole Allen at PMH. Love you both. And that was from the good texter. We do have another call. Good morning. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, This is what I want to say. First of all, I want to give my condolences again. I mean, I know it is a long time ago, but my condolences to Nurse Lund, who was shot during a an attack on the hospital on a patient.
Mm-hmm.
As you would remember, Miss Lund, right?
Yes.
Nurse Lund. Yeah, I want to tell her family, you know, I appreciate the fact that Nurse Lund was an excellent nurse, and she was even at the time when she could have moved out of the way and not be a part of what was may have been transpiring at that time, but she felt even the need to extend her services to the country and to protecting the patient, and she stand up, I think they said, that to protect the patient and end up getting... losing her life because of that. So the Bahamas people got to realize the kind of situation we are facing today in reference to nurses and the danger that they may be putting themselves in from war patients who wants to continue to enter the hospital with weapons to continue the arc of violence against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I can really appreciate the service of the nurses. Yes, I heard that caller, right? The caller that he feel that the foreign nurses are much nicer. But I think that was little. That was just really a personal feeling. I think he was just expressing his probably personal feeling, because in every organization, you'll have people with an attitude problem. But he got to realize that the nurses have to endure that same thing when persons come in the hospital and they're cursing and they're carrying on and they want to get served before everybody who's there before them. So the nurses also have to have strong patient. The nurses could also say that when the when foreigners come in, they may be more polite than Bahamians who's coming to get that service. So I want Bahamians to understand too, and as me as a Bahamian also, that you have to be polite also. You can't just be looking at the nurse to be nice. You have to be nice also. Mm-hmm. And my last point is that I was in a hospital and I got service from, I think her name would have been Miss Lowe. It was a young nurse at the time, Miss Lowe. But I could be honest with you, right? Miss Lowe she treated me so nicely. And I could be honest, you might laugh at this what I'm about to say, right? Let me tell you why I know she treated me nicely. I'm not a good-looking person. So I couldn't say that she would have admired me. That's why she treated me nice. But she looked at me and she treated me so well, I can be honest with you. They asked me if I was feeling better, right? And I said no, because I really wanted to stay in there another day to see her. Because she treated me so nice, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I could say that I know it couldn't have been that she admired me.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just being professional on her job and her duty to do what she had to do. And I say in my life, I'll never forget her. And I'll always try to remember that name, that even if somebody... I come in contact with, they mentioned that Nate Lowe, Miss Lowe. I said, are you related to a nurse? No, she's a doctor, not a nurse. Try that. She's a doctor.
Okay.
Are you related to that doctor who was in the hospital at that time? As long as they say yes, I'll extend my services to assist them in any way they need that assistance. Because when persons be nice like that, I try to even remember if you have a children or your inheritance, that even if I don't get to give you nothing, I would make sure I'll be able to assist them later on in life. But thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you very much. We also wanted to touch on the issues of breast cancer. Speaking of oncology nurses this morning, Nurse Thompson, do you have any expertise in that area per se, or have you had any experiences as a nurse in the oncology department?
Not directly in the department itself. But my family has a history of cancer. My great-grandmother passed away from breast cancer, and I have aunts that have fought breast cancer and are still surviving. So cancer is a pervasive, to me, it has touched almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And working in that department can be stressful, as you said, because a lot of times, I think this is one of I call it the downside of nursing. When you know so much about the way a disease progresses, when you know so much about the way it looks when a patient is having a decline, it's hard for you to show them the optimism they may be looking for when in your head, your expertise is telling you that this person is headed towards the end of their journey, mm-hmm. you know? So that could be hard mm-hmm. because you want to give them all the sunshine and the light and the optimism, and especially in that department, those nurses, they have a little extra bounce in that step. Because mm-hmm. when those patients come in there, I mean, they are just on point. They know them by name. They know their treatments. Mm-hmm. They know what's supposed to be happening with them today. They handle them with kid gloves.
Yes.
It's necessary. So what kind of night they had before they came in. And in most cases, those nurses know the history of that person's struggle. This might be their second time coming back after thinking they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now they here again, going through another treatment again. So that department, children's ward to me, also the lady who called in with nurse, Sister Rebecca Johnson, she's amazing. Amazing. So definitely give her her props. They take on a lot as well, especially imagine having to be a nurse dealing with pediatric oncology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a blow.
Some breast cancer data. Health officials estimate Bahamas breast cancer data. Health officials estimate 300 to 500 new cases each year. 48% of the women diagnosed with breast cancer in the Bahamas were under the age of 50. The average age of diagnosis in the Bahamas is 42, and in the United States, it's 62. 44% of Bahamian women with breast cancer had stage 3 this disease. And I just want to input there that early detection is the key. That means that you have to do the self-examinations, you do your mammograms, etc., to ensure that should you find something, it would not be at the stage, hopefully it would not be at the stage 3 or stage 4 level. Bahamian wives, mothers, daughters, sisters, and friends are finding out about their cancer later and dying younger because of a lack of early detection. Among the women who die from breast cancer in the Bahamas, 43 are under 50 years old at the time of their death. And it is estimated that a full 23% of Bahamian women diagnosed with breast cancer carry the BRCA1 gene mutation, resulting in their diagnosis. And so this is also a serious issue. As you mentioned, the aren't best to provide excellent care. And mostly the hope is that you do not have to go and see them, right? But in the event that you do, you can rest assured that you will be taken very well, very good care of in that department as well. Also, shout out to the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group. We have a text, and I'm not going to read it, right? But I just want to mention that if we are elevating women's issues, there is nothing stopping you from elevating the issues of whatever cause you may be passionate about. March is being designated as International Women's History Month for a reason. And we are discussing women's issues and celebrating women in our society. And so we can celebrate Bahamians, and we can also celebrate women. And unfortunately, if that irritates or bothers you, good luck. We have another call on the line.
I'm a call.
Welcome to On the Clock.
Yeah, okay, I want to say a shout out to all the nurses and the men go clinic.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for calling. Aaron, you had another question for Nurse Thompson, but I believe we had cut off due to the call. I don't know if you can remember it.
No, man, listen, we're really at the end of the show. I can hold my question for later. I just want to say just quickly and then let you sort of come to the end of the show. I want to say a shout out and a God bless you to all of the nurses who come to work every day knowing that the patients aren't going to give them what they have, and they're not going to get all they need from those who are supposed to resource them. And I want to say a special shout out to the nurses that had to deal with, you know, the, just a quick story. I know a young man, he's having some mental health issues, but he's so resourceful. He escaped from Sandilands by jumping into and then escaping from the prison yard. And to the nurses that have to deal with patients like that, with patience, we say thank you. There's nothing we could say but thank you. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nurse Thompson. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it very much. Thanks to CA Nuri for your support in studio this morning. Thank you so much, Erin, for trusting me with your on-the-clock baby. And watch out for wild chickchanis, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can be doing all day.
You guys, it was awesome spending time with you guys today. I hope the public got a little bit of insight. And I look forward to Nurses Month. Shout out to all the nurses in my medical block and at PMHSRC RAND Memorial and my DPH nurses. You guys have an amazing day.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And y'all nurses, get ready for May because we got more conversations to have.
Most definitely.
Nowhere to find me if you need me.
Okay. Tune in to On the...